Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. This will be an interview with the great Dan Soder, but before then, I wanted to let you know about my new comedy specials coming out next week on this channel. It'll be called Black Israelite, so if you subscribe to this channel, you'll be able to watch that when it comes out. And also, there's a new book of poems called Disquieting Levels of Egg, and also many, many tour dates. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be grouchy. We're all having a nice time. I apologize. Disquieting Levels of Egg, that's out now. Black Israelite, that's out next week. And many, 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 many shows on sale in the United States of America. Here's a conversation with Dan Soder.
It's truly an honor when you're able to get a meal curated by Tim Dillon. You let him run point?
He's offered.
Do it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Take it up. He was at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, and I was there the next night. And we went a day early because Katie's from there. So we just wanted to chill out a little bit. But we stayed at the hotel the night early. And I got there late, and I was like, Tim, you around tomorrow? You staying around? And he's like, yes, lunch. And then sent an address. And we went, and he was literally in the back, already with a seafood tower. And he was like, take a seat. It was the best, one of the greatest meals I've ever had.
This is what I would like to be. I've been poor for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to have, I can pay the bills. I got a
that's the best part.
Certified pre-owned car. I'm going to have to sell it. But yeah. Things are going anyway. Yeah. But I feel very guilty to have any displays of opulence. And there's a way to have money and to, which is how we got into this beforehand, where the Tim will have money and he'll do fancy things and it doesn't feel gauche, it feels right.
It feels, well, that's, I've always said Tim Dillon is the only person I've ever known in this world whose economic status caught up to his tastes.
Wow.
Where everyone else outdoes their tastes,
yeah.
And that's why they look gauche, because they're trying to be.
No, there's a greatness of spirit necessary for having a lot of money.
It's
I'd like to go hunting.
Yeah.
Oh. And love my horses very much.
Oh, man. You know? Loving a horse when you have a lot of money. Loving a prized animal that can be raced.
Well, greyhounds are lower quality.
But
even
the people that own the greyhounds, you have to have money to take care of them. It's taking care of an animal.
Sometimes that was a big scandal in Australia is that they were, they found mass greyhound graves. It's not as big a thing here as the greyhound racing, but we love it.
You guys love it in Australia.
Oh, we adore it.
Here, for us, it's very
West
almost out of it.
The only place I've been that had it.
I went down to there was dog racing
West Virginia
and Colorado. I grew up. There was dog racing. There was dog racing in, like, there's certain parts of California that have dog race. Dog racing's around.
Yeah.
But it's not the high society of horse racing.
No. And then dog fighting is a little lower than that.
That's where it gets.
That's around too.
That is around.
It's in some urban areas across this country. Great to be here on the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Dan Soder, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me on.
I flew in this morning. I got up at 5. I flew in.
Insane.
I spent the last 2 hours in a McDonald's sitting working on a new screenplay. Can you do a Bill Cosby impression? How's your Bill Cosby?
Not as good as I'd like it to be.
Okay.
Because it is like, it's the same as everyone's Bill Cosby when you're just doing the slurp-a-da-derp-a-dee. I can't do it.
I find I'm doing Bill Cosby Bukowski. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
There was a character before. It was a guy doing it on Funny or Die, and he was great, but he was just talking about raping everybody.
That's right.
He was like, I said, Theo, I'm going to rape you. And it was how could Bill Cosby say that? But then, you know, time passes. And
you find out it was Bukowski. So was he reading Bukowski?
No, the character was Bill Cosby, Bukowski. And it was if Bill Cosby and Bukowski were fused together.
Oh, I was going to say, it'd be funny if he did. If
you're a Bukowski man.
I only have one book by him. I don't know, but I knew I had it behind me. An hour later, I had most of the money when Wilbur Oxnard suddenly came down the steps. Triple, triple, triple. That's how he Willie found us when he came back, shooting craps and drunk.
It
I don't allow gambling on this ship, he screamed. Yeah, I don't know if he's. I don't know any rape scenes off the top of my head.
Oh, there'd be some. There'd be a couple. I started watching Bukowski interviews.
He's nuts.
He's so magnetic.
Yeah, you can tell that he. There are women that fucked him when he was like down and out that don't regret it. You know what I mean? There are guys.
I think he was, when women talk about that unemployed dick,
yeah,
he's the finest dick. I think they probably mean Bukowski.
So, which is like one of my favorite. It's been done multiple times on Comic View and Def Jam, but guys that fuck for rent, that whole bit of like, nothing's better than dick that needs a roof over its head.
So, you know, I don't know the hacky Def Comedy Jam. For me, Def Comedy Jam is just. You don't understand. I ain't scared of you.
That's
the only
the
one
quintessential Bernie Mac.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of them. Like if you I'm like an older millennial, but I grew up watching a lot of Comic View, Def Jam. They fed a lot of stand up to us in the 90s on cable television because it was cheap, easy, and it was just plentiful. So you could watch stand up all the time. So you would get bored with like Evening at the Improv, and you'd be like Comic View, and you'd be like, and then the first time you see Comic View and a guy
Comic View is the black one.
Yeah. On BET,
yeah,
and their stage. Big J did it. Big J did it like twice. Their stage would be like huge stage. One season they had people at like dressed up like they were at a club, but they were all sitting like women drinking martinis
behind
the comic.
I saw Chappelle do that. It was very weird.
What, he had like hot people behind him?
He did the Sydney Opera House.
Okay.
And he wore a tuxedo and he brought in two ladies in evening gowns to sit behind him on stage and then did not acknowledge they were there for the entire performance and then walked off stage an hour and 20 minutes later with the ladies.
That's great.
But I like this. What, you have like a Greek chorus behind you of...
Well, it looked
really
like they were just
black
at the
people.
Yeah, it was just like black women with purple martinis just sitting there in like dresses, and then the comics would come out and do, you know, their sets. I never thought I would be able to get to explain Comic View to an Australian. It's incredible because it really was like stand up. Whenever these people act like stand up is this like a high intelligent art form, you're like, well, if you grew up in the 90s, you know, it was just the cheapest to produce. So you just get like dumped on everywhere in the United States.
Well, the second wave of that would have been everyone had a Netflix special for a time.
Yeah,
and
that was
the ending now. I've just missed that.
Me too. I think we're both.
You didn't do a Netflix one?
I did a half hour.
Yeah.
And I hated it. We recorded two shows. They used the show that I hated. They made me change my set list in between shows. The first show was fantastic.
You were too dirty?
I made fun of the venue. I made fun of Netflix. And they were like, no. And they made me use the second one, which I didn't do well on. I didn't do well on the show.
Well, I will avoid saying it if you think that
it's not good.
Okay.
I wish I could omit it. If I made enough money, I would buy it back and delete it off Netflix because that's how much I hate it.
It can't be that.
It just wasn't.
I've seen myself. My new special coming out September 1st, Black Israelite. It was
filmed
meant to
in
be,
Philadelphia.
Filmed in Philadelphia, but it was meant to be an hour, and I had to cut it down to 23 minutes. The first one I did an hour, and I had it so much it was 18 minutes, and this one's 23.
Wait, you did an hour, and you crunched it?
I did 2 hours. I did different material. I got 2.5 hours of stuff.
What?
And it's 23. I can't do it. I can't look at the rest of it.
That's a you problem. You got to have someone else watch it and release it.
Everyone else is wrong. And then I have one other person watch it. You know, people come in and the person goes, that's good. And then the next person goes, oh, I like that. And then one person comes in and goes, this bit's the strong bit, isn't it? And you go, I fucking knew it. I knew it.
I knew I sucked this entire time.
I hunt until I find the person who will agree with the thing I don't like.
And then, yeah, that's internet comments. You just go through them until you find the one that like really makes you feel, the one with that cuts you, and you go like, oh, this is right because I could feel it.
Ron White looked at comments for the first time in his life. He was talking about this in the green room because he did a charity benefit for flood victims. He goes, I've never read the TikTok comments ever. I don't have it. But the assistant said, look, people love it. And the first one said, you're a great man. Well done. About 10 down. Someone said, these celebrities would do anything to get in the limelight.
Yeah.
It was watching a 70-something-year-old man
read comments
for the first time ever.
It's
had that much success. He's never had to deal with that before.
It's like being let out of a bomb shelter. You just come in and you go like, everything's destroyed.
What have you been doing out here?
Yeah, he goes, what, you killed them all? It's the end of Planet of the Apes. You murdered them all! Comments can be real bad because your brain will find the one that hurts the most and agree with it.
On black comedy and Planet of the Apes, my favorite, Steve Harvey... One of my top five favorite Steve Harvey bits.
All right.
Have you ever listened to Steve Harvey's comedy?
There's an album you told me to listen to.
No one does it. I can't get anyone to do it.
What's the name of the album?
There's Don't Trip, He Ain't Through With Me Yet. That's a good one. And there's also my favorite, Still Trippin'.
Still Trippin' is the one you told me about.
Still Trippin' is a joy. And I tell people, Steve Harvey's one of my favorite comedians. Everybody looks at me with confusion. Or they think I'm being ironic in some way.
I just, out of the kings of comedy.
Number two.
Bernie, Steve.
Bernie, then Steve, yeah.
Bernie, then Steve. Then who do you got in third? DL or Cedric?
Cedric.
Then DL.
Because Cedric has had some great outfits late in his career. And the acting. No, for me, Steve, for a long time, Steve was number one. I adore.
Do you watch a lot of Family Feud?
I watch the clips, and I like it when he gives speeches in between the feuds.
Here's where you gotta watch the full episode.
I've seen the full. I've seen
some. Because the clips are good, but where you really see him is just when you can immediately tell he doesn't like a family.
He turns.
They're white. They're always white, and he just goes like, and he like looks across to the black family like longingly, like, oh, I need to get back over there.
You might like him. At his most joyful in the season of African Family Feud that he went and did, where he went to Africa and did Family Feud with African families.
What were the surveys? Where they were like, okay, now how many animals can you get killed with in your sleep? What is like,
what
show
is something
me.
You see on the way to the wheel?
He goes, I fear a lot of things outside, Steve. What are you afraid of outside? Show it to me. Are there snakes? He goes, well, I can be afraid of lightning too. What about the weather? Oh, I won't say weather. I wish I could do a good Steve Harvey. Fucking Godfrey does spot on.
What's it called when people have albinism?
Yeah. I do
albinism
not like...
Albinism is terrifying.
Albinos are cursed by the earth. By the great spirit.
Clitorises are dreadful.
Oh, pleasure for a woman.
This one will go well. This will be a great episode. I can't recommend it enough to people.
But we're past Netflix, so we don't have to worry about it.
No, the YouTube is going very well.
Good.
And although I had a panic moment yesterday.
Yeah.
Where I was looking up a music video for Chapel Roan.
Great.
And I saw it didn't have a lot of views compared to the streams. It was very low on the views.
Sure.
And then I looked up all the music videos from who I think are the very successful. Sabrina Carpenter. It's tiny. It's hundreds of millions. The people were cracking billions with the Justin Bieber and things of that.
Sure.
That ilk. And I looked up the top 10 YouTube videos ever, top 20.
Yeah.
They're all pre-COVID. They're all no one post COVID has had
a hit.
Viral videos don't live on YouTube anymore. Stand up specials do, and I think you're in the top. I think you might be in the top 10.
I mean, our buddy Shane has like...
He's number one by a country mile.
Country mile.
You had the next couple together.
He's got one where you look at it where you go, does that say 54 million?
It's very...
It's like he did the Thriller of YouTube specials. Like when you look up
I've seen the new hour. It's not bad.
I love his new hour.
I was happy with that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
That was the follow-up to the Thriller was bad.
Oh, hey, I didn't even catch that. No, that was good.
No, I was trying
Bad
to
was a great album, though. Man in the Mirror, Bad. You had a lot of
He had a great run.
I mean.
Then he does Past, Present, Future. Has a big statue of himself come out.
But that was the greatest hits with two new songs thing, right?
I think half the album is new songs.
Okay. And then with Dangerous was after that, right?
Yeah.
And
Blood on the Dance Floor.
Yeah.
And then that odd one, with his the final one. Do you remember this? It was his last one. And then he was dead. But it was just his, it was white and it had tiny little features of his face.
Oh, no.
It's a beautiful, sad album.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was so, there's like documentaries now that they're like showing a lot of shit from the 80s, like the making of We Are the World.
I saw that.
Great doc on Netflix.
Yeah.
Great documentary. But there's like, this is what I love YouTube for. It's finding little nuggets of shit that run together.
Brother.
And so you'll go like, they're constructing songs with Michael Jackson. If
yes.
you YouTube Michael Jackson songwriting, you'll see different clips of him like, in the studio going like, no, I think it's going to go like this. Dun, 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 dun. And he just like does it. And you're like, holy shit. That's it. That's Billie Jean.
All right. I've gone deep into it. My YouTube algorithm. I watch a lot of, you know, autistic men talking about trains for a long time and things like that.
One of my favorite follows is Francis on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you know
Francis? I love him.
Yeah.
Love him. He's a gem.
Today, we're going to watch the 440. Oh, it's a ripper.
He's so happy.
He looks like me with the camera. When the camera's facing himself, it looks a lot like me. Giant head.
But my kids also watch on the same YouTube account. And so it's merged them. And now what my wife watches when I'm not there is she's fully across the economics of Disney.
Oh.
And there are countless hours of extremely in-depth videos about like how theme parks work, how they make money,
yeah.
how they reduce lines in the most granular. And this will be a 90-minute thing, and it's very engaging.
It can be. They can make a lot of shit on YouTube that you're like, well, I watch a lot of videos. I've hit this weird mutation of I like to watch stories about movies that didn't happen.
Yes.
Or canceled television shows.
Well, what are the movies that didn't? Because the Jodorowsky, I don't know how to say it, but the Dune that didn't happen. I've
yeah.
seen a number on that.
Well, Darren Aronofsky's Batman, which
yes.
was supposed to happen. Nicolas Cage's Superman.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff like that about how like a studio will have it and then they'll like fuck up shit with writers.
Yes.
Like I was just watching one where they wrote the story of what the Phantom, like Phantom Menace episode one was supposed to be.
Did they screw with George Lucas's?
Well, George Lucas, they talked about stuff he changed and stuff that he originally had planned that he's like spoke about.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go find that stuff. So I want someone to compile that. And then I love listening to it. But like the original idea for episode one was Obi-Wan Kenobi was the older Jedi that was teaching Qui-Gon Jinn. And
yeah.
then he gets, and then it's Obi-Wan that gets killed by Darth Vader and Qui-Gon Jinn takes the name Obi-Wan.
I like that.
As like a way to do it. And that's why in A New Hope, when you finally see him and he goes, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he goes, that's a name I haven't heard in a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, but they changed it. They switched it so that Liam Neeson was Qui-Gon Jinn. But I love stuff like that. I love like...
He was also, look, I mean, he was like a renegade, right? Everyone was like, whoa, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon didn't
hippie,
like the...
Dippy,
didn't
mystic,
like,
doesn't like the council, sees a lot of the problems coming. But then you've also got like Mace Windu is... He's a renegade and he fights in a way you're not meant to... The whole council is populated with people flirting with heresy.
Yeah.
By the time it falls, people know that it's not a working system.
They know.
And then the
they
Empire comes faulted. Back for the three Disney movies.
Yeah.
People yearn for the Empire. It's a better
people
way.
Love
of,
the Empire.
It's a more effective way of running the galaxy.
It really is. And the second that we can acknowledge that, I remember when it blew my mind. I watched this interview with a former CIA operative, and she would like interview terrorists when they caught them in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
Yeah.
Like, she would like, this woman would like sit down. She was like one of those, like, she was like Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs. She was like a behavioral specialist. And she was interviewing this member of ISIS. And he was like, man, you guys don't get it. You love, like, he didn't say it like that, obviously. But translated, he was
what
like,
"What the fuck you doing? Come like, over here, like, Afghanistan,
man! Y'all fucking with my poppy fields. Y'all fucking with my wallet.
I got my boy dancing. You trying to take him away?
I got my Northern Alliance little boy coming over here, man. They took my boy.
I got the number one back of Bazzi in this region.
Yeah, I love little babies, baby. but they were like, yeah, you guys love Star Wars and shit, but we're Luke Skywalker. They're like, you guys are the Empire.
Yeah.
And she was like, whew.
I did feel that way during
COVID. In the interview, she was like, oh.
In COVID, I started to... There's never a movie about a plucky band of rebels who need to be pushed out and crushed. Yeah. It's just not a story that
we can't sell that. Imagine pitching that to a studio and you go, here's my idea. There's a band of scrappy rebels and we squash them. And they're like, oh, I don't know.
I mean, America, for this reason, could never make like a war movie that was just uniformly... Like, not since... I couldn't... Not since Nazis...
Yeah,
we're being for, or at
that's
least,
why we always go back
Russians.
To that because it's a black and white evil.
But whenever there's like a sand battle,
yeah.
You know, there's a guy going, we can learn so much from these people.
These people are wise.
Maybe we shouldn't be over here.
I mean, I grew up in Colorado, which was just, we just steamrolled the Native Americans, and then we built mini malls and we went, they're so wise. After we were drinking a Jamba juice, and we're like, nom, 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 nom. No, but you're,
I
mean,
to have them. I watched a Chinese, by the way, I watched a Chinese one. I think I was trying to, I watched the second highest grossing Chinese film ever. It was number one until a kid's thing knocked it off this year, but it was like, it's their number one movie.
What is it?
It's like the battle at some sort of lake, and it's about the Korean War.
Okay.
And you're following the Chinese and they're fighting the Americans. They've got none of the subtlety that Americans have.
They don't do like American movies?
Americans are the bad guys, and they're obviously like we. There's a scene early on where they have. First of all, MacArthur is in it, and he's ugly. And Chairman Mao is ripped,
really?
And always smoking.
Wait,
very
what's
wisely.
This called?
If you, it's the number two ever grossing Chinese movie.
Okay,
and it's on Tubi.
Okay,
so when they show Americans, it's always like they're ugly and bad. Like there's early on, all the Americans are there with all their fancy military equipment, and there's a fat one, and he's vomiting. And he's just vomiting, and people go, "Ah, we are gross." We vomit in public.
I can't wait to read. I want to watch it for the dialogue.
I would have thought the vomit.
Oh, I love steak.
It's dubbed.
And puking.
I can only get it dubbed, and that is how they talk.
Oh.
And then MacArthur's there going like, we will take out the world.
We are the world. Well, you know what's a great movie to rewatch? That's an American movie that does this.
Yes.
Rambo 3.
Yes.
Where he helps. The whole point of the movie is he teaches the Taliban how to fight. Because they're going against Russia. So what's funny about that is, obviously, post 9/11, hate the Taliban. Every time they're in our movies and shit, they're like, I don't know, Nosferatu. Very Nosferatu. 89, whenever we're making this,
wise.
They're like hot.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just ride a horse and want to be a farmer. And Rambo's like, and these goddamn Russians won't let you. And then the Russians are like dirty teeth and they're like, I need more. Destroy all Afghanis. And then, you know, Rambo's like, you guys need to learn about freedom. And then the end of the movie is them beating Russia. But you could argue.
I mean, they didn't learn this with Rambo 4, where he's just gunning down.
In Myanmar? Where is he? In Myanmar? Or is he in Laos?
Is it Burma? Is it
Cambodian? It's Burma. It's Burma. I saw it in the theaters.
Just
I'm a Rambo.
The blood.
He's
doing that. There's no humanizing of anybody in that.
It is just pure killing.
Yeah.
And it's great because it is like the... They got to get him to come like a violence orgasm where he's like, I'm not turned on. And then he's like, ooh, I'm a little turned on. And then they're like, they took that girl that was nice to you. He's like, I'm ready to come. And then he just goes and wipes out a whole fucking gang of kidnappers.
Who they all, some of those movies get better with, you know, as they go along.
Rambo, First Blood is
magic.
Aged incredibly.
But there's no glorification of violence at all in Rambo. I mean, he's literally fighting... The police. American police.
Well, he's just trying to get through town. And then they're like, Brian Dennehy, the cop, is like, hey, get the fuck out of my town. I'll drive you to the edge of my town. And literally the whole time he's like, I just want a sandwich. And he's like, get the fuck out of my town. And then he's like, nah, man, fuck you. Like, I fought in Vietnam for you. Fuck you. And then they're like, oh, you want to be a problem? We're going to arrest you. And then he's like, don't. And then he has a PTSD episode.
And he's in a waterfall at one point. It's been a while since I saw
Rainbow. I've watched
First Blood. But that was the level of vagrancy policing that people were comfortable with at the time. That's how homelessness was kept low for a long time.
We're going to drive you out of town.
Cape Fear?
Yeah.
In the original Cape Fear.
I was just there. I was just in Cape Fear, North Carolina.
There was a Cape Fear.
Wilmington, North Carolina. Cape Fear.
They go, he's a vagrant. Find some way to get him out of this town.
That's it.
And they just drum it up.
I met a girl from San Diego when I was in college, and she was like, she lived in La Jolla, which was like very nice.
I don't know.
And she was like,
oh, north of Albuquerque? No.
No, it's in San Diego.
Okay.
So it's south of Los Angeles. Just north of the Mexican border.
Right.
Very nice. Perfect weather. I'd argue that San Diego is the most perfect weather you can feel.
They say it's the finest town in America.
It's unbelievable. But La Jolla is like the rich part. And when I met her in college, we're talking about like homeless. And she's like, oh, they just like pick them up and take them out of town. And you're like, I was in San Francisco once. And Gavin Newsom took the homeless from San Francisco and moved them to Oakland.
The Chinese were coming to hang out.
President of China.
What, you just had a homeless ferry?
They just put them in buses. Just took them to Oakland. Just dropped them off.
The current solution of some American cities policing it very brutally and some having an open door policy is working.
Well, Giuliani cleaned up New York by brutal policing.
Yeah.
Like, people don't realize.
People will do it at a certain point.
He had the broken window policy, which was like, they'll arrest you for anything. Like, if you break a window, that was like the, don't quote me on that, but it was like, I know it was called the broken window policy, but I don't know why it was called that. But he would just come in and like, New York, Times Square was like, anybody that grew up here, anybody, like Giannis, any of my friends that are a little bit older than I am, were like, you have no idea the war zone New York City was in the 70s and 80s. It was like horrific. That's why it's funny now when news channels go like, after COVID, a lot of news channels were going like, New York City, it's the 70s again. And then I'd go home to Colorado and my friends would be like, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, it's the same. It's the same as it always been.
I've never been scared anywhere in Manhattan.
I've been more afraid in Austin than I have in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
San Francisco, there's been a couple times.
Oh, Austin. I mean, Harlem is fine compared to Austin.
Austin's wild because it's hot.
But also, I got to go to L.A. They're cleaning up L.A. They're doing a number on L.A.
Really?
I was in San Francisco. Next week. I didn't see anything of unpleasantness in. Now, Sacramento. Wow.
Sacramento.
On there.
Well, you get like Sacramento. What you get is you get all those. That's where they end up. Is like they send them to a town like Sacramento where the town doesn't have as high as a profile.
Yes.
So they just kind of have to take it.
They're like groovy. I mean, Portland. I caught the train out of Portland going up to Seattle.
Yeah.
And I just thought I could do the walk, and it was a big mistake.
Yeah.
But I did get to see crack smoked for the first time. I'm spinning there thinking about the crack in the orb. And also,
did they hit like this?
But at first it was like everyone was sad for ages, like tense, sad, sad, sad. And then I saw a man who was happy, and I thought, one guy is making the most of today. And then he lifted up his crack pipe. And I couldn't resent him for smoking his crack because it was the only...
It's the idea that you saw a guy and you go, well, look at this chipper and gentleman.
Beautiful sweets. I don't know. I'm spitting all the time. I apologize.
No, I like it. Don't worry.
It had a sweet smell. The smell of crack is... It smells sort of like an apple rotting in a car.
Sometimes chemicals burned in the right way can smell very pleasant.
You were a marijuana person.
Sure.
You came off the alcohol.
Yeah.
And you would have also, you started doing stand-up at what I think was that a brief window of non-cocaine glorification. There was a big cocaine time.
Yeah.
People of your generation talk a lot about, I saw this guy.
Yeah.
And he was...
Where I started in Tucson, Arizona. Violent, homeless.
Sure.
When it's hot, dude, a hot city, it makes sense.
I'm trying to think where Tucson is in Arizona.
South of Phoenix.
Yes. I drove through the forests of Arizona. I didn't know they had it.
Oh, yeah, up by Flagstaff.
Through the mountains. Yeah, it's
gorgeous.
It's beautiful green. I'm sorry, I had Arizona.
You get the trail off of kind of like where the Rockies.
Yes.
You get like that like alpine kind of trail
but
off.
But all before the Grand Canyon. It's all beautiful green.
Grand Canyon is beautiful too.
We got to go to the Petrified Forest and Yosemite.
Yeah.
And loved them. But everyone, the kids were in the car and they're going nuts. And I was just like, we're not going to the fucking Grammys.
But when I started comedy in Tucson, you would see, because it wasn't an A or B room, you were seeing guys from the 80s that like sometimes were, or the 90s, because I started in 04. You would see guys from like the early 90s that you, like I said, from watching so much stand up on TV, you'd be like, I know this guy. And you'd see him and you'd be like, whoa. It's like the same with like 70s football players. It's like the guys, start seeing it and you're like, oh no. And they're like, we start hitting different. Because it's just, of course you have brain injuries.
I have now watched some of the compilation videos of the
70s. Oh, like hits from the 80s?
From the 70s, because I became a Steelers fan when I came to America. And it's the only great
franchise.
That's the great era of following the Steelers. But also they looked,
I mean, you look at hits.
Bigger. They look stronger. Like the pads are a different dimension at a certain point.
They were wider. They were taller. There were actually more pads. And I think that gave them the
force to really do
just
damage.
To hit them. There's an opening of like NFL on CBS or something. Yeah. And it's just someone posted it and it was like, every single hit they show in this opening, which is like an opening to a football game.
Yeah.
It's like if you would turn it on and it'd be like, it's the NFL on CBS. And they'd do like a highlight thing of like, bam, 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 bam. This guy posted it. It was like, every hit in this is illegal now in the NFL. Yeah. And you're watching guys get fucking spun and you're like, yeah, that's crazy. That's how we were about coke, though, when I started doing comedy.
You were afraid of it was.
You're just like, oh, well, this is the one-way ticket to have a shitty life. I'm sure the high is great, but the low seems to be more permanent.
I mean, it's a weird. Australia is going through a big coke. Certainly, when I left, there was a huge coke wave.
Oh, back on top
in Sydney, people loved. It's a two-tier. It's a much more like stratified. People with homes and money, and people with nothing, and it's getting bigger. But certainly in Sydney, people with rich parents are doing coke all the time. And it's $300 a bag, and it's not actually cocaine. But also,
what
no
is
one,
it?
Washing powder and speed.
So they don't.
It's very hard to get into the country. But all these people are starting to be. If I see them now, 5-6 years into serious cocaine use. But they never. Also, they're in Australia. It's not like they got to become successful and then burn out. It's like
they're just fucking doing drugs.
They were featuring at rooms of 150 people, and now they're sweating all the time and looking to
gnash their teeth. They have little nub teeth.
There's a flinty look to cocaine in the eye that's very hard to do an impression of.
Well, it's
looking past somebody,
and it's the pupils big. It's just when they're like trying to zone. It's like they're trying to focus with their whole face, and they're like, "Hey, so where you been?"
Why, it's sort of the way that I think that men look when they're horny is very similar, which I've only noticed because usually men don't look at me like that, but I once saw a trans woman who looked at me with the sex
lust.
Interest. I thought, I didn't pick it as a trans at first. I thought, that woman wants to hurt me. That woman wants to hurt or eat me. I don't know what's going on. And then I realized it was a man. I thought, oh, that's how I've been looking at women.
That was like, I've been watching a lot of Norm clips.
Yeah.
I just do, like, I put it on in my hotel room, and it's just like a nice way to unpack my bags when I'm
the
on the stand-up
or the show or the
everything.
Sitcom. Yeah,
I'll just put it on and let it fucking run. But it's starting to affect my inner monologue, where it's like even you saying that, where you go, yeah, this woman wanted to hurt me, and then I realized that that was a that's the horniness of a man. You know, it's like affecting me.
I do his rhythm. Sometimes on stage, I'll go, that's only good because it's a Norm rhythm.
Yeah, he just was so original.
Eggs!
Hey!
Come right out of the act.
There's a word. Eggs!
This is the screenplay I'm working on at the moment, which is I'm trying to do. I only do this to prove it. That's not even it. Where is it?
Where are you?
Where is it?
Where
it's
are
down
you,
here.
Son called, of a bitch?
It's called the clown joke. But what I'm trying to do. Here it is, the clown joke. I'm at about 60 pages, and I'm worried it won't get to the full way. I need to get it to the 90 to make a feature film. It's going to be very... Anyway, that's only to prove it. But I want to do it as one of... not one of his jokes, but like a long joke...
That pays off at the
end. That pays off at the end, but that someone's just telling it, and then you shoot the joke, and you shoot the things that are happening in the joke.
Oh, like almost if they did a... almost like if they did a like a porn version of... what's that? The Aristocrats?
A porn version of the Aristocrats?
Like if they film like the Aristocrats?
Oh yes, 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 yes.
Like that.
Or like
if they actually
film the Princess Bride does it with the grandfather cutting in and out of tongue in cheek. If they filmed the thing Sarah Silverman was saying, if they filmed her getting raped by a doctor.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But it's a long joke, but I cannot get it to get to 90 minutes.
It's very hard. Well, is there a world in which you write it like that and then you realize you can collapse it into a short and make it tighter, as you do with everything? You have 2 hours down to 23.
There's something about a short film that I find very depressing. Because
why?
They can't do anything. You make a great short film, and the only thing that can come out of it is someone going, I'll help you to make a real film next time.
Sometimes they turn short stories and short films into full movies.
They do, but what if you just make... What if every scene is twice as long as it has to be, and there are lots of shots of the mountains, you know, and then a man is playing a violin in the corner, and we get 3.5 minutes.
This is all waste. I'm doging your script right now.
No, it's
this is all waste.
It's European.
Cut on
the I'm doing the Italian naturalist style.
You're not doing an old 20s vampire movie.
I would love to.
That would be great.
It's time for someone to remake Birth of a Nation, which is actually a really captivating and strange picture.
Yeah?
I don't know if you've seen...
I've never seen it.
Most successful American film of all time, Birth of a Nation. But it's more nuanced than the Chinese films about Americans now, let me tell you.
I'm so excited for this Chinese film.
It's so pro-China. There's a scene where one of the guys is acting up in the troop. You know, he's a young buck.
Yeah.
And he really wants to get... And he's pointing his gun at everybody. And they go, you're immature! And then they're on a train, and he's causing a fuss, and the train door opens, and the Great Wall of China, they're training, driving, whatever, they're moving past that, and they all stop and look at it. And it's so beautiful that he doesn't have another emotional outburst. He becomes a mature, decent man because he saw the power of China.
The power of China cured him.
It's unbelievably... They're ready. And then the ads are coming in because it's on Tubi. So I'm getting American. So they're going like, Americans are weak and disgusting. Chinese are strong. And I'm getting offended going, this is not right. And then I cut to an ad and it's like, do you want to play some online poker?
Yeah.
With a picture of a woman with some big tits.
You ever have chocolate on your sugar? And well, no, not really sure I have that.
Give it a go.
How about chocolate and sugar?
It was Domino's. And then credit cards. Those were the three in a row.
We can shoot it right in your veins. Do you want to be cheese-filled yourself?
The ad was because people are so poor. The Domino's ad was heartbreaking.
Yeah, they
were saying people are so poor. Have you seen this ad? That it's a woman with a hamburger trying to cut the hamburger up to feed many children. And then, they go, if you've only got $6, just get a Domino's.
Yeah. And then they pass out the pizza and they go, everybody gets a slice. Because they do that thing. She chops the burger up. The commercial is... Bunch of guys just played sports to show hunger. Then they go to they go to cut the burger in half, and you go, oh, this is fun. They're going to cut the burger in half. And then they cut it again in half. And then they cut it again, and then the players look around. And they go, oh, you get a fucking bite.
It's not enough of a burger. But the Domino's, again, a great Steve Harvey bit. He talks about going to a ghetto ass wedding. And he says, I went to the wedding. They had cut the sandwiches into 32s.
Yeah.
Got to go around the table 4 times, get a meal.
Just everyone listening or watching this know that I will have listened to Still Trippin' by the time this comes out. Because James has told me more than twice.
I tell him.
In a heartfelt way.
When I'm on a road trip, I make people listen to it.
That's a great way to do it.
And there's one joke that goes for 20 minutes. And I start, and people don't know when it's going to end. And then they start going, come on. But then it turns a corner into the ghetto ass wedding.
And then it's a flight.
I've been 1 degree away from so many successful people in America.
Yeah.
That I could, not once has there been the vaguest opportunity to meet Steve Harvey. He is a vault. I don't know who he hangs out with.
I would tell you, your path to Steve Harvey goes through Atlanta. I think you would have to. This is how it would have to align.
Okay.
You'd have to be in Atlanta with someone with a lot of juice in the industry. There would have to be an event. Those three things would have to happen. You're in Atlanta. There's an event. You're with someone with juice.
I'm at the BET Awards.
I mean, you're almost a guaranteed meeting there if he's... God, if you caught a year where he was hosting it.
But there'd be no way for me to intrude.
What? Where's your accent? Dude, please get Nick Mullen.
Would just be Australian?
When you do Nick Mullen's on the podcast, he does a fantastic Steve Harvey.
They were doing what on the trains?
Yeah, it's my favorite. The Nuremberg trials?
That's the first Come Town thing I ever heard. I was very late to Come Town.
They did what with the trains?
I think. Now, help me, because Nick was your opener.
Yeah.
And I remember.
Well, he opened for me a couple times. It wasn't like consistent.
There was one drive where he was saying the podcast has to be called Come Town, and it's got to look like ejaculate. But did he?
We were driving back from the stand-up or Laugh Boston. We were driving through the night from Boston back to New York, and he was like, yeah, I'm starting a podcast with Adam and Stavros, but I really just want to do it so I can make the logo look like cum. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I want it to look like, I want the logo to look like it's made of cum.
See, that's vision.
And then he was like, and then I didn't know what it was called. And then I went over and I did their podcast.
It was
called
Come Town?
This is pretty cool. I'm pretty proud of this in a really gay comedy way, but I am very proud of this. I think I was the first guest on Come Town and Matt and Shane's secret podcast.
Wow.
I do believe, if I'm not the first,
yeah,
I'm one of the first on both.
If you don't count Phil Gillis in the background shouting at somebody.
Shane! But I was in their old studio in the basement in Philly.
Well, everyone who's respectable and good in this generation traces their lineage to you. Not every, but like a huge weird. I don't know if we talked about this on your podcast, but people don't know. I don't think.
But I think people know. I think people.
Hardened comedy fans know.
I think like diehard comedy fans know.
Yes,
but I mean, I just had a good run of. I had a crazy run of features just absolutely blowing by me. Just fucking swoosh. No, I truly believe
that. But pick good features is, I'm finding this now because I've got to pick people and take them on the road.
It's always not easy. Pick people I want to watch.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Why
I'm on the road.
Do so many people not do that?
Because they're scared.
Well.
Because there's moments it goes bad. It's like having a pet grizzly bear. If you can get it. If you're like, there will be moments where it turns on you and it's not good. I can tell you right now all the shows that I've been absolutely buried by the people I've taken on the road. I absolutely.
They're burned into your.
Yeah, because it's embarrassing. You're like up there doing an hour and you're like, if you're connected to the audience at all, you go, I can feel that you want me to bring Shane back up. Like, you're like, I can feel that in my bones. Tim Dillon had a set in Vermont at the Vermont Comedy Club. It was the early show on a Friday or on the Saturday. He killed so hard that it echoes in my life. Like, I still am like, that Tim Dillon set in Vermont. Yeah. Shane went through a breakup and then opened for me in Albany at the Albany Funny Bone. And he had a fucking heater on a Friday early that was like, I was 35 minutes into my set and I looked down and I was like, should I bring Shane back up? Like, I feel like they would really enjoy if he came back up. But whenever that happens, you know, you were talking about like self-hate and like finding the comment that you want to. I think there's better ways to go about that by going like, well, instead of taking a weak feature, why don't I just up my shit? Why don't I just get better at stand-up? And it's always like that way. Like it went, I used to have Gary Veeder, who's hilarious. And then it went like Nick for a little bit. Tim for a while. Tim Dillon for a while. Then Shane for like a couple of years. And then Jeffrey Asmus, who's really, really funny. And there's just been a bunch of people that open for me. Right now, Sagalow's on the road with me. And I really enjoy watching his stand-up.
I saw Racine Houston? It was Houston.
Yeah, Racine used to be a guy that used to go on the road with me a lot.
Yeah.
But I like that. Because I like watching guys that I are like, even girls like, I don't know if you know, there's Maddie Wiener.
I don't know Maddie. I'm sorry if I do know Maddie Wiener.
Maddie Wiener's hilarious. She lives in New York, but I've been bringing her on the road. There's just like people where you're like, oh, shit. There was a show I did at the Bell House in Brooklyn, like 2018 or 2019, and it was my friend Rojo hosted, and then it was Shane, Michelle Wolf, and me. And I was like, that was a great...
What era, Michelle? Is this... Because I remember she was Seth Meyers, pre-Seth Meyers?
This is pre-White House Correspondents' Dinner, post-Seth Meyers. This is when she was writing on Daily Show.
I remember the first time I saw her do, she was doing a little orphan Annie character who was a big slut.
She did grown-up Annie on Seth Meyers.
It was...
She come out with her legs up and she with the sunglasses.
It was maybe the last good thing on a late night show that I ever saw.
I'm going to tell her that directly.
I can't say. I mean, I also think it was maybe 10 years ago, but I keep trying to think, because all those shows are going to end.
Yeah.
And
we're almost to the point where they should.
I try watching them.
So this is what I did. I'm glad you brought this
up.
I was just in Wilmington, North Carolina at Dead Crow. Phenomenal club. Go there.
Okay.
Go there.
All right.
I will connect you directly with
Ethan,
the owner.
We're getting it done.
Yeah, go to Dead Crow Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina. You'll fucking have a great time. They're great, and they love comedy. The room is unbelievable. Why did I bring this up?
Tonight shows.
Oh. I got back. Thursday night was one show. Sagalo and I went and had dinner, and I just went back to the hotel. And I was playing video games on my thing that I bring with me on my Steam Deck. And I was sitting at the table there, because if I lay down in bed, I'll probably fall asleep. I'm that age.
Yes.
And I just put on NBC and I watched from beginning to end Fallon and Seth Meyers. Genuinely horrible. It was like they were trying to make my mom's friend laugh. Where you're like, this is it. Who is this for?
They would always reference each other. I remember when Conan was getting fired.
I love Conan.
It was a great time in television.
Conan Needs a Friend is a great podcast.
But then you flick over. I'm trying to get on it. I can't get on it.
Neither can I.
Well, you'll get it before me.
Let's go on together. We'll both walk in the door.
You need a couple of friends?
Hey, Conan, we're friends with you now.
I remember Conan was getting fired. And they were all, you would flick around, you know, or at that point I was watching in Australia on the comedy channel. And so they would play just like back to back. And, you know, Letterman would talk about it.
Yeah.
Leno would talk about it. On the day after Stephen Colbert gets fired, I watched just to tune in, see what was going on. Although he's still there, retrenched. I don't know what term we're using for that. Jimmy Fallon just doesn't mention it.
No.
It's like it's not happening. It's like
he's
if you talk
man.
About it, people will go over and watch that. So don't talk about it.
Kimmel mentioned it. Because they're political.
Kimmel wasn't on the air.
Yeah.
So Kimmel was on holiday.
Who was guest hosting?
Well, this is the other thing. So I'm watching all the... And Stephen Colbert is just like a shell of a man because everyone's getting sacked and he's...
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon is... I tell you what makes Jimmy Fallon work a little bit is I think he's hammered. There's a look... I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know any story.
I don't know. I don't work there. I don't know.
I look at that man and I see a guy who's been having a pretty good time.
He gives it... You know what he gives the energy of? A guy that goes like this. Can I kiss you? Joe Namath on the sidelines in the Monday Night Football game. Have you ever seen that clip?
No.
Joe Namath is... Dude, it is... It's a Monday Night Football. And Joe Namath is old.
Yeah.
He's old.
He's trying to kiss?
I forget who it is. It's Lisa... Salters or something. No, at least I don't even know if that's the right name. It's an older woman that is a sideline reporter for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Who's like the trusted, I talked to the coach, this is what happens, here's what's injuries. They're reporting. They're like war reporters down on the thing. And she's like, I'm here with Joe Namath. Joe, Super Bowl III, you beat the Indianapolis Colts. And he's like, you look nice. Can I kiss you? Dude, I want to show you this live. I got to show you.
All right, well, you find that. I'll tell you who was hosting for Jimmy Kimmel that night and who did a great job was Jelly Roll.
Yeah?
Yes. So, I mean, everyone else is a skinny guy in a suit trying to make jokes about Trump and the economic policy.
Yeah.
And Jelly Roll is a big, fat Jelly Roll with his face tattoos singing a song about his penis. And it's like, that's closer to America now.
Yeah.
That feels like more real. All right.
Oh, dude.
So he's drunk?
Everything that anyone else has watched Chad play impresses me. The same thing impresses them.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
It was awful. We had been at the... Had been gone since 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
That's just it gets to him, his story of him going like, I don't care what the stream is struggling. Oh, it's Susie.
Can you Colbert, be, as a player in American sport, if you say something unpleasant on the field, can you get suspended?
So what's funny is, as the microphone technology, I've watched football my entire life. I love it. I get like genuinely excited this time of year because it's preseason football. So I watch all the games. I'm like very, very excited for football to come back. Very excited. As microphone technology has progressed in the NFL, the amount of N-words that go on TV has been so funny. Because first they got those dishes, right?
Yeah.
You'll see them holding, they'll pick up sound from the thing. But these guys are, they're in battle. They're hitting each other. They're saying the N-word a lot.
But this is black on black N-words.
Black on black N-words. Okay. Black on white N-words. They'll say it to a guy if a guy gets hit.
Now, never a white on black N-word out on
brother, that starts a whole fight.
Okay.
This isn't the longest yard.
This is what's happened. So, at my Australian rules football team has just...
Adelaide Crows.
Number one.
Let's go. Adelaide Crows, by the way, because of James Donald Forbes McCann, I am an Adelaide Crows fan.
I appreciate that. The finals are coming up. It's going
to
be great.
I might even buy a hoodie.
Please, now's the time to do it, because there might be some available, because our star, one of the star players, he used a word that he shouldn't have used. He called someone a faggot.
Okay.
That'll come out. So it's not, you know, I mean, within the range of things that people often say on a sports field.
Let me tell you right
now.
They
do it all the time.
I'm by way of relationship, I like the Boston Red Sox. They have a very good player.
I thought you wouldn't go with... They're all...
But he said that recently and got in trouble.
Was he suspended?
Yeah.
All right.
Got suspended for a couple games.
He might get suspended for the whole finals season. And...
Because he said that?
Yeah.
To a gay guy?
Well, no. No one is openly gay, but he paints his nails off field.
Okay. You're looking for... something to say on everybody.
You just want
to
hurt somebody.
You're just trying to hurt them get physically and emotionally.
It was a close game.
In a combative sport, I think we need to be chill. We're not talking about case.
People are going to rub him out. It's so negative, and the punishment will be so punitive. People are going, maybe we should bring the punishment down because this could actually hurt the gay community.
Yes.
If our sensitivity to the gay community is so strong.
The gays of Adelaide will be in trouble.
If the Crows
do not win because of this.
He's got to... They haven't given the punishment yet, but they're saying it's going to probably be the full finals term. He's got to come out as gay now. Yeah. I don't care if he's got a girlfriend. I don't care what he has to do. He has to look dead down the barrel of a camera and say, I am and I have always been homosexual.
Or
it means something different for us.
Listen, put some of this American spin on it.
What?
He says he was sexually abused, and that's why he used that term. He's going to have to say he was raped in his butt. But
Isaac, you've got a long road ahead, but you've got to play finals.
We'll work this out. you got to get
also,
there.
He's an Aboriginal man.
Oh, whoa.
It doesn't get you the same pass that it would get being black in America. It doesn't. American black people... are the reason that the woke thing is able to... They never... A lot of it was for them.
Well, it was created by them.
They never did it. But they never... Black people were not afraid to speak their mind at any point during that whole... I don't believe... I mean, certainly Kanye persisted and a lot of the rappers. Yeah. But there was not this like huge... That thing that got into the whites of like, I'll just shut up. I don't...
Oh, no, black people, I mean, you're talking pre-civil rights. They couldn't say a goddamn thing.
Yes, no, I'm talking exclusively about 2016 onwards.
Oh.
And that's when someone like a Stephen Smith becomes really successful because he's the only person who's able to really...
He's Stephen A. Smith. He's going to be our next president. 2028.
There are worse options out there.
Stephen A. Smith. Quite frankly, I'm sick of Social Security. I don't think old people need to be getting checks every month.
When he talks about Charmander, that's my...
Oh, yeah.
He's got the claws.
Yeah,
he's
the
got
Pokemon.
A flame.
Katie used to work at ESPN, and I would go to like visit her when we first started dating. I would like meet her at work to go like get dinner and stuff. And I would see Stephen A. Smith not in character, like walking around.
Just like a normal guy?
Just like a normal, like a coworker, like going to get a coffee in the break room or whatever. And you're like, crazy. It was like, you know what it was? It was like watching a storm be a person. It was just like, oh, look at that rainstorm getting a brisk iced tea out of the machine.
It's the public self and the private self is difficult to navigate.
That's kind of suck.
But I wonder if, I mean, Shannon Sharpe wouldn't have organized this sex scandal on purpose because people were starting to call him
gay?
Yes.
No.
A lot of people are coming out and going, look at the way he walks, look at the way he dresses. I mean, and then immediately goes, turns out there are a lot of young women. I've got a sex tape on my phone, and I'm settling with somebody.
I don't think $23 million is worth him covering his homosexuality.
He's just on the down low. He's going to keep it very down low.
Yeah, that is a tough thing to come out. And that is funny. What would you put your price on not being discovered you're gay? You'd almost go like, if I am worth $60 million,
yeah,
and then I go $10 million, this goes away, and everyone thinks you're super straight, you go...
Isaac Rankin, it's a premiership. That's what you have to consider. It was very different when I was people would go, this is a sticks and stones mentality. But Australia is going one. America, I think, is coming out of whatever cultural. You're going to a different, maybe.
Worse. No, it's
in
a pendulum.
Ways worse.
It's a pendulum.
It's going to go too far.
By the way, it always does. South Park, who we all know,
yeah,
are the greatest of all time.
Yes.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone. There's an episode, everyone right now on the left is loving them because they're going after Trump.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're a real South Park fan, you remember the introduction of PC principle, which now stands for Power of Christ principle. But back in the day, it was politically correct principle. And he shows up with he's the bro, which was the funniest thing they could do, which is they made a bro super PC.
Yes.
Where he's like, I'm sorry, bro. Are you microaggressing me? You know? And he's like, PC. So there's a scene.
I think I saw this season.
Where there's these two farmers and they're watching the frat house.
This is what I was going to bring up as what I like, where the boys stand to the side and they go, did we do this?
No, they go, what do they say? It's two farmers and they go, well, things are getting awful PC again. And he goes, yep. And he goes, how long did it last time? He goes, about 6 years. He goes, how long we into it? About 6 months. They called it.
Yeah.
2021, 2022 was when things stopped being politically correct again. Because you can call it woke. It's not woke. White people misuse that word. It truly is politically.
It's obviously a resurgence of that early 90s thing.
It's politically correct. That was the term. That's why Bill Maher had the show Politically Incorrect, which was Bill for Bill Hicks, FYI.
I didn't know that.
Bill Hicks was supposed to be the original host of Politically Incorrect.
But you have first of all, that's great. I didn't know that. Secondly, you have a huge wave of. Matt, you had Limp Bizkit, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
1999.
And there's some meaning about this that's, you know, having a man with his dick out or
in a sock.
About,
well, that was mid-90s.
Chocolate stuff. Yes, yeah. But that mid-90s.
Late 90s was rap rock and you have like, Woodstock 99.
Adam Sandler is in some ways a response to this.
I loved him. 94.
That's the first part. And also it gets buried. It's not as institutional the first time around. Like, well, SNL is doing anti-woke comedy while it's happening.
Yeah, because
they're not calling it woke PC.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, it's that was the response of the late 90s was to the early 90s, which by the way, the PC stuff was like everybody was in on it. Religious conservatives,
yes.
Democrats,
Tipper Gore.
Well, she was the one that created the parental advisory sticker.
Yeah.
And she tried to cancel modern term cancel, get fired and get in trouble back in the day, all the bands that were saying crazy shit.
And to once again say it was black people who pulled America out of it, I don't think it's a coincidence that's when rap music's
really golden age
starts to go.
It starts blowing up and then you have white people take that, turn it into rap rock. You know what I mean? Then you have the early 2000s and then you have a moment of like, also what's crazy is stand-up comedy was dead. Right then, stand-up comedy's bubble burst in around 1991.
Suit jacket with the things.
Late 80s, doing impressions. You have five comedy clubs in every city. Right, history is just cyclical. So it's like they go. The PC thing happens. You get the response backlash of like, "Fuck that! We're gonna make stuff that isn't PC. We're gonna make stuff that." What sucks is back then they made good stuff. Only time will tell if it's good now. What we're making, but. They made good stuff.
I mean, there was a lot of bad stuff getting made that we forget. And that's probably true now.
And there was a lot. Yeah. There was both. You can't say it was good or bad. But they made a bunch of shit. And then 2005,
yeah,
stand-up starts to break again. You have Last Comic Standing, you have Louis C.K., you have fucking Bill Burr, you have Comedy Central really leaning into it. Well, Opie and Anthony at the beginning of the 2000s was like the underground punk scene for stand-up.
Yes.
That's how I learned about Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Patrice.
I remember on Newgrounds.com, people were animating that show.
I loved it. Really, Coke Logic. Podcast. Shout out to Coke Logic. He always did animations of like Opie and Anthony stuff that I loved. But that's how A Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. Yes. Like that was all this, how I learned about all my, what would be, if you talked about comedy like it was music, those would be the bands that influenced me. Because I'm like watching those guys. That's why I moved to New York. I was living in Arizona. I was so close to LA. I could have just gone to LA.
Well, then,
but I wanted to move here because I liked.
When is the Twee thing? That's very separate to that. Because you have the, there's a big Twee movie. Flight of the Conchords.
Sure.
Dimitri Martin.
Yeah, that's all.
Mitch Hedberg sort of gets.
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
That's like around 02, 03, 04, 05.
Like Sebastian comedy.
06.
Yeah.
06 was like Flight of the Conchords, which is when they took off.
Yeah.
And then you have the 08. I would say it, like, comedy became fucking huge again with Louis in 08. Shameless into Chewed Up into Hilarious. And his show and podcasts.
What?
Rogan, Burr. All those guys start podcasting around 2009, 2010.
Oh, I think what's funny is that at the whatever those two eras of that breaking.
Yeah.
Patrice dies just before
2011. One. He died in 2011.
He's really like, I remember that looming as this thing is happening, all these people are talking about. I found out about Patrice after he had died. I didn't know. But then also, like for this, whatever's happening now, it feels like it
Norm
went into
consistent.
Turbo Drive when Norm, he was always there, but he was, you know, he was doing clubs. I imagine he would be doing massive packed theaters or something.
He's doing Caroline's, but what's crazy is about Norm, he suffered from the PC era.
Yes.
He was the Weekend Update host during the politically correct era. So people were mad at him because he was being uncool. He was bombing.
But then the guys around him are right.
Jim Downey is like one of the funniest human beings of all time. And they would like write stuff together.
SNL writer?
Yeah.
He's,
have you seen him on Conan?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein, the financier. But
Colin Quinn is on after Norm.
Yeah.
And then Dennis.
Dennis Miller is before.
Dennis Miller is before. But I mean that there's like.
I think it went Dennis Miller, Kevin Nealon, Norm Macdonald, Colin Quinn. Oh, who's after Colin? Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey.
But that, it feels like,
and then it was Tina and
Colin
Amy.
Quinn is not on the right, but he has like a world weariness that is sort of
Bill
Buckley-esque.
But there's a reason about
they're all. You know what I mean? They're all going Colin Quinn is silly. Calm down. Like they really have a gravitas.
Yes,
that is associated with conservatism.
The guy, without bringing any politics into it, Norm and Colin reminded me of the bartender that's making you laugh.
Yes.
Amy, I love Tina Fey, 30 Rock's arguably my favorite show of all time. Tina Fey and Jimmy had the energy of young teachers that are trying to help you.
Yes.
So it's not, there's no darkness to it.
Yes.
It was all light. It was all like light and good and like, hey, we're having fun and we might say something that's a little crazy. Don't tell the superintendent. But Norman Collin was like, hey, you know that guy that died? I found his fucking wallet. And you're like, oh man, let's go through it. You know, and like Norm was being like.
Look, not to cast shade at the current generation, but it is. If all these TV things feel now like we're just waiting for something. Let's just keep going until this is done.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yeah. People right now are too, especially in America, are too obsessed with intellectual property and owning the rights to stuff.
Okay.
So they just want to bleed it out until there's nothing. They want to get all the money out of everything.
Sure. I mean,
they don't want to make anything new.
Have you watched The King of the Hill coming back?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good.
The magic as a sitcom.
Mike Judge to me is.
As a new animated sitcom, it doesn't have a problem. You know, it's not, the jokes are good. The pacing is good.
But compared to.
I went back. I watched some of the last season before they did end.
Now, I haven't. So maybe.
Maybe it had fallen apart by that point. Maybe it was a bad show. It's better than it was. There's an episode where Bill gets diabetes because he's so fat.
Yeah.
And I won't do all the gags along the way, but the opening scene is him at the fun fair with a big lollipop. And he says, put a wig on the lollipop. And they put candy floss on it. And he goes, I know all the tricks. He collapses. He has a diabetic attack. And Hank, They just, all the boys get around him. They love him so much. And they take him to the hospital. They go, oh, you've got diabetes. Just to eat right. And of course he doesn't. Sure. And he has two diabetic attacks in a week. And he goes to a hospital. He gets a bad, you know, a nasty doctor who goes, you're going to lose your legs. I may as well give you a wheelchair now. So Bill starts going around in a wheelchair. And everyone thinks he can't use his legs. They think he's already lost them.
Sure.
But he's in the wheelchair. He befriends some rugby wheelchair players. And he really loves having no legs.
Yeah.
And he plays so much rugby wheelchair.
That he gets healthy?
He gets healthy. That's huge, strong arm. And then he gets up to go to the toilet. And everyone realizes he can walk. And they're so ashamed. And he's so low. And he's just eating a bag of sugar in the middle of the kitchen. And everyone comes around and goes, Bill, we are proud of you. You stopped yourself being diabetic. That's really beautiful. And he goes and kicks the doctor's ass. But it's the whole thing could be a poem, and there's nuance, and not everything is a joke. Yeah. I was watching the new season, and then halfway through the episode, for no reason, Bobby accidentally has a horse.
Yeah.
I got to find something to do. You can't bring that in at 15 minutes.
Yeah, there is...
There's a pathos that is very hard to...
It's gone. They don't want... It's... You know, it's fucking...
I don't know how
it's
you
a gay saying, but it is true, is right now we live in the era of profit over product.
Yes.
They're more concerned with profit than they are with the product of, like, making something that takes time, making something that, like, might not be, like...
It might be bad.
You know when you see, you watch Bad Romance, right?
Yes.
And you go, what a great movie. And then you go, that's Quentin Tarantino's first movie. And you go, oh, he directed it? And you go, no. He wrote the screenplay.
Yeah.
He didn't direct it. And there's like this, that used to be a thing. You had to like get good at one thing, then do the other thing, and then get good. And then there might be three or four projects before you strike the sound that people know. America wants everything. I think the world, fuck America. The world right now wants something prepackaged and perfect and never has an expiration date.
Do you get very angry that they don't give young quarterbacks time to develop?
No, they should. Give them three seasons.
That's what I'm saying.
They're learning trigonometry. They're learning fucking...
I just wondered if that would also be a...
Yes, that's exactly it.
All right.
Tom Brady had this speech, and a lot of times the shit he says, I'm like, he's so detached, he's so rich.
Very robotic, very strange.
But he talked about this fact of college football players are transferring every season. So they're not learning a program. They're not learning how, you know, like how to do things, how to like implement a playbook, how to run new plays, how to be fourth on the bench and work your way up to the first. Everyone wants to be first string, make $1 million off NIL, and you're like, this is where we're losing it.
Well, then the system knows that, and they just get him to run the ball. You just get a running back as a quarterback. I've been following along with the game. I've spent 18
months. But we want microwavable food. That's what everyone wants now. We want to put it in a microwave. We want to fucking dial it up.
It's so hard to have a good, authentic life. I mean, here in New York, you have a shot at... I don't know how many things I've walked past. I mean, literally, I bought this toothbrush and this toothpaste from an old, styly pharmacy. It cost $20.
It's crazy.
I couldn't say no, but it was...
Let's go to a CVS.
Yeah, there was but it had a nice sign. I had to go.
Okay, I know. I know which one you were. I think it was the one on 2nd Avenue down in the East Village.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that one. You got ripped off.
Of course. No, I knew as it was happening. And then I went and plonked myself in a McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because there are so many, but I went to like three nice, authentic-y cafes. None of them had outlets. So I was like, I have to go to McDonald's.
McDonald's knows what you want.
But even then, they've disconnected most of the outlets. I thought, this is something. You go upstairs, it's all empty tables and outlets everywhere because this has been built at a time. They go, we'll have people will come and they'll work at McDonald's and they'll eat here.
Yeah.
That's gone bad, clearly, at some point.
Yeah, real bad.
They've disconnected all of the... They have the outlets, but power's not running through them so that people don't go up there and cause a stink.
Have you seen the power stations on the street?
No.
So there's like these like things, they'll have like videos on it, it'll say, but what you can do is there's outlets on it.
So and guys just wank.
Oh, it's so funny. There used to be one by the old stand on 19th and 3rd, and this dude would just be out there fucking whacking it at like 7 p.m. with people walking by, and he's just looking at his phone, and people are like, whoa. And so now I think they did something to either disable that or...
Well, I think this is why at airports there's been this rise of... lactating chambers.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
To think that people are using them to
whack off.
Of course
they have to. Technically it's a lactation. You're lactating yourself.
There was a Roman emperor who would breastfeed babies, and that. No, it was a very. By the way, what time do you have to run away?
I have to go.
You have to go.
I can go pick up my dog in 5 minutes.
I have to go and do. Are you garbage?
Oh, you're gonna do great.
I'm gonna be garbage.
Have you done it again? Have you done
I've
it before?
Never done it before.
Oh, it's right by me.
Yes, that's why I've got this all planned out.
This is perfect.
I think. You'll go. You'll do that, and I'll complain about things in my private life.
I love it.
Black Israelites, September 1, disquieting levels of... I'm just going to put them in
YouTube.
Later. I'm going to put them in later.
Black Israeli, watch it. Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour starts September 25th, I think, in L.A. at the United Theater. I know it starts in L.A. at the United Theater. That I'm sure of, and I'm pretty sure it's... Yep, September 25th. Seattle, the 26th. Portland the 27th, DanSoder.com. Go through DanSoder.com. Don't go through secondary sites. They're going to fucking charge the shit out of you.
And don't forget the Soda podcast.
Listen to that too. Listen to his episode on it. It was very fun. You're the man.
You're the man. Thank you. Oh!
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.